Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
When it comes to identifying purpose and independence, for many, the latter is a daunting task. The nature of the difficulty is a lack of awareness about the principal foundation of a man's success. Many seek to make money in America in order to be happy, which leads us to our conversation tonight on the topic economic freedom. How do these connect? Faith, fatherhood, and family. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful to have you join us for another episode of Talk Straight this June 6, 2017. And we hope that you'll join us. The number to call us here directly. This is an open mic discussion. You can join us in the discussion by calling 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. It matters not what part of the country or the world that you're calling from. We will be happy to entertain your conversation. We do ask that you make it relevant to our topic this evening and our thread of dialogue, and we will certainly strive to answer any questions that you might have. For our new listeners, this is an educational platform, the blog, the podcast broadcast is designed to open dialogue around the world, or America in particular, and specifically speak to 11 cities that we're targeting to go to. We've been focusing on Bessemer, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, Nashville, Tennessee, of course, down in the Memphis area, as well as Columbus, Mississippi, New Orleans, Louisiana, Houston, Texas, Miami, Florida, Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, St. Louis, and their surrounding areas, just to name a few. But if you would like for us to bring our seminar to you, by all means, give us a call. Go to our website at www.bfcinstitute.com and you will find all the necessary contact information at the bottom of the page, or you can click the contact tab, and we'll be happy to respond accordingly. All right, having said that, we're going to move forward with our normal monologue for the evening. And for those of you that are listening live, again, we encourage you to call us here and join us in the discussion. And again, you may do so by calling 657-383-0944. And we'll be happy to entertain you in just a little bit. And for those who might archive the show later, give detail to our website. And there's an email there as well for you to, if you want to shoot me an email, have a conversation with me offline. You had a particular question or a thought that you want to share, feel free to do that as well. Tonight's monologue, economic freedom. How do these connect? Faith, fatherhood, and family. The message of economic salvation for males who are at risk to criminal actions, incarceration, violent behaviors, and yes, even early physical demise, should at a very minimum include instructions on economic principles closely associated with successful manhood. The three F's, as I am terming them, are as follows: faith, fatherhood, family. Now let me just explain each of those and give some sort of scriptural context for that, for what we're talking about. Faith, by definition, is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. A strong belief in God or the doctrine of a particular religion that is usually based on spiritual feelings or notions rather than necessarily any empirical evidence or proof. Hebrews 11:1 reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith drives a man's actions. Lack of faith is related to an inaction. Fatherhood. The state of being responsible as a man, caring as a husband, and the voice of influence to his offspring. Proverbs, the 13th chapter and the 22nd verse reads, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." Simply, fatherhood is a spiritual state of being or existence, and perhaps the highest state of existence for a male, for a human being that is born as a male. That's the highest evolution, I suggest to you. And there is a particular place in this formula of these three F's as it relates to economic success. We'll get to that a little bit further. Family, a basic social unit consisting of parents and their children. Today is often considered as any group of people that are living together under the same household, whether they're related or not. But biblically, the concept of family is based in the notion that it is a social unit in a healthy way. Unfortunately, this is not the case all the times in 2017. Model, the norm, should be for anyone seeking to start a family is creating a social unit that consists of father and mother, parents, rearing children. Deuteronomy 6 chapter verses 6 through 7 reads, "In these words which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now that we've covered those three F's, let's connect them now to economic freedom or independence. Economic freedom is the ability of a person who is a member of a society to undertake economic actions. The term is used in economic and policy debates on a regular basis, as well as in philosophical discussion on economics. Now, we talked about economics in our last show this past Tuesday, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about it here just for a second. One approach to economic freedom comes from the classical liberal traditions, emphasizing free markets. That's what we're talking about when we're dealing with economics. Free trade and private property under a system of free enterprise. Okay? Another approach to economic freedom extends the idea that welfare extends the concept of welfare, and it focuses on the study of individual choice. With greater economic freedom comes a larger a sense of responsibility. But if an individual is not prepared, not learned, or not motivated to conduct themselves in a certain way and maintain a system of a free market system, or being able to provide a product that is in demand and meet a demand, make a supply where there is demand, then they tend not to do well there. Okay? And they wind up depending on welfare or the help assistance of others, particularly with regards to the acquisition of goods and services. Lastly, free marketplace or the free market viewpoint of economics has to do with liberty as to having produce, trade, consuming goods as well as services acquired without the use of force. In other words, you don't have to take them from anybody. These naturally come and they are there and available for anyone. Now, interestingly enough, when we think about property theft, when we think about crimes of that nature, they result from individuals who are without certain basic resources and or opportunities. We can argue why that is. But as we mentioned tonight, what we're really looking at is the concept of economic independence and freedom. I submit to you that there is a lesson to be learned from biblical instruction, from the Bible, as related to one's faith, reaching that august state of fatherhood, and finding stability in the institution and the structure of family. So what do you mean by that, Dockery? Well, I'm saying simply that when one's faith is based in the idea, the belief, that the Creator has endowed them with the right and that are unchangeable, as stated by the framers of the Constitution, with the divine right to establish oneself and to produce using God's natural resources, I believe that that positions one to be a responsible caregiver and provider in the context of marriage and family as a father. And this is what fatherhood really is. It is the cloak or the underpinning of certain behaviors that have a direct effect on others. As we read in Proverbs 13:22, one of the indications of a father or fatherhood is that this good man basically sets up his children and his children's children for an inheritance, something that they can benefit from long after he is physically gone. Okay? Again, the connect here is family. Man believes that God created him to live, rule in the earth. He has certain dominion and certain powers. As such, he begins to procreate and extend on God's creation, becoming a father, and doing so under the cloak of a spiritual guidance and principle. Hence, he produces a family, or this social unit, basically, that functions to serve a particular person. And within the context of that family, there is constant instruction taking place. This is the context for talking about in terms of this connection between economic freedom. As we mentioned earlier, when we talked about free enterprise and economics and an individual's right to produce and to have freedom to produce. In America, when we talk to young people and we talk about stopping gang banging, we talk about stopping individuals from selling drugs, and we discuss the issues of social demise and degradation, poverty, and things of that nature, it is very important to realize, I believe, that some things are only surface to what the real issues are. But if you're going to get to the root of the problem, you must be able to reach the individual where they are. And I'll submit to you today that there are a lot of good people, young and old, and you notice, you all know since you've been listening to the show, if you've been following us, and my focus is on young people in particular, providing them a second chance, if you will, and often a first chance for success. And as a pastor, I believe it is necessary to focus on even providing spiritual instruction or guidance by proclaiming truth. What truth are we talking about today on June 6, 2017? We're talking about the truth related to faith, fatherhood, and family in the context of economic freedom. We've got to teach our young men that you are somebody. You are worth respect, first by respecting yourself, then by establishing yourself and demanding that others honor, recognize, and respect who you are, that productive individual. There you begin to connect with a better half or a helpmate to extend yourself from one generation to the next. And that's really what we're talking about when we talk about fatherhood. This extension of oneself, your values, your faith, your practice, and teaching that and instilling that in your children, your sons and your daughters, such that when you're gone, generations behind you, certain principle thoughts, certain legacies, certain heritage will maintain itself in the earth and your name continues. Good example of this is the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, the Rothschilds. We know of them because of what? Their children continue to carry their name throughout history. I'm not suggesting that one should try to mimic or be like anything or anyone other than themselves. I am saying, however, that there is an opportunity for us to teach young people in particular. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Feel free to give me a call here. We'll be going solo tonight, it looks like, 657-383-0944. I'd like to answer your questions for you, for those of you that have any, or entertain your comments. Now, there are a couple of questions that we post on our Facebook that I do want to raise, and I'm going to answer them myself during this episode. The first question is, how are faith, fatherhood, and family related to economic freedom? And I believe we've just covered that. And to extend on that, it's important that I believe we understand that economic freedom is not something that, and that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But it's something you have to work toward. One becomes free when they work and when they establish themselves. Then you are free of the need or the demand for someone else to provide it for you. As you grow up as a child, you naturally depend on your parents from birth to take care of you or someone to do so. But as you grow older, the ideal situation is that you learn to care for yourself. You learn to provide the basic needs for yourself. Hence, you're on the path to maturity and independence, freedom. So these three concepts that I'm calling the three F's in the context of our discussion now are very, very important to teach young people. So let's talk about when do you start teaching this lesson and how do you teach that? Seems to me that it's very useful at the age that a child is able to walk and able to pick things up and able to pull his own diaper, his or her own diaper off, and to take control and hold of certain objects. This is a good time to begin shadowing that child, teaching them to be responsible for their environment. Now, what happens often is, in a home where there's little structure and the child is able to roam free wherever they choose, they tend to be at risk to become harmed. For instance, if the child is allowed to climb upstairs by themselves unattended and there are objects hanging around or standing up, child can knock them over on themselves or put something in a wall socket, things of that nature, because their environment is not managed and controlled for them. But when you provide them that basic structure at home where they're seated in a structured place with age-appropriate objects, and as a parent, you're engaging them. I'm not suggesting you're doing this 24 hours a day, but you're deliberately spending 5 to 15 minutes with a 2-year-old in particular, 3-year-old, reading, encouraging them to play with instructional manipulatives, things that encourage logical processing, so forth and so on. What you're doing is modeling for them the type of behaviors that they can build on later. The logical processing is most related to mathematical skills and again, logical designs, and sitting down with them and reading to them and talking with them or letting them hear your voice and expression is preparing them for reading and conversation. As they hear words from you, they begin to develop their own vocabulary. And I should add, anyone else around you, for that matter, in your household. So it's important to be careful who's in your household, because they may introduce concepts or words to your children that you may not want them to have introduced to them. Okay? So, again, the point here is that as a parent, as a father in particular, there is a specific role. Now, some men seem to think that as long as I'm paying for the light, water, the rent, mortgage, or car note, that's enough. I'm a good father. But I have to tell you that while those things are good, they're not good enough. It is important that your children experience time with you, that they engage you, they see your face, they hear your voice, and even have an opportunity to walk side by side you at times. That means you got to make time for them. That means you have to balance your priorities as a provider and a caregiver such that you're able to make sure that you make time for them, especially during critical periods of growth and development. This is a major factor that is continually missed by many good men or good people who desire to be the best fathers. So you have to ask the question, what's more important, certain material, wealth, or things, or the things that we need to maintain this social unit of the family that we talked about earlier? And for me to be this voice of influence along with my wife for my children. Of course, if someone is deceased, that's not possible for that to happen. And even then, a surrogate father, such as an uncle or perhaps even in some cases a friend or a church member, cousin, a brother, a grandparent, someone that can step in and assume that role. But in the ideal situation, as you're beginning to start a family, these are considerations that are very helpful. Responds to that first question that we posed that has to do with how are those three related to economic freedom? Well, let me state again, when an individual is well adjusted and they're prepared mentally, socially, they're in a much better position to establish themselves economically. By that I mean being in a position to provide something to society by way of a good or service that is in demand. And identifying your individual skill sets and your specific talents that will be useful to humanity. This is really what we're talking about, and it is a principle concept more than anything else. It's a value-based issue. Young people, we teach boys to grow up to think with certain values when they reach the age of maturity and the age of responsibility, they are best prepared to procreate life. It's a natural process, and it's supposed to be enjoyable because the Creator made it that way. But it comes with responsible acts and expectations. All right? Now, having said that, we're going to go to our first break here. The number is 657-383-0944. Hope you join us, and we'll tackle a few more questions and, again, keep the phone lines open here. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctrine, and we certainly hope that you are enjoying what you're hearing, and we hope that if you're on Facebook, be sure to come and shoot us a message there or respond to the questions in our dialogue there. And we'll be glad to communicate with you then. So after this brief break, we'll be right back.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online. Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Tonight we're talking from the topic faith, fatherhood, and family in their relationship to economic freedom and how they connect. You heard previously the message there. It was a poem from Langston Hughes, Message from a Mother to a Son. And the poet, the African-American poet Langston Hughes, was striving, I believe, to make a statement, a social statement. And that was one from the viewpoint of a mother who struggled to raise her son, to tell him, keep your head up, don't give up. Life ain't been no crystal stair, but keep pressing on. Unfortunately, in today's society and in this time, what young men need more than anything else is to understand how. We know what the problem is. We know what they're not doing right. We know where they're at that they shouldn't be. What we need to know is how. And this is what they're looking for. Even, you know, one reason I found as a pastor that many young people, interestingly enough, let me back up. I've not only been a pastor, but I have engaged in political campaigns, which have taken me literally to the streets to engage and interact with people and ask questions and answer questions. And what I've discovered, listening audience, is that there are a lot of young guys who are detached from the church and from society as a formal groups or processes in society simply because they don't know how to properly present themselves. And there's this fear that I might fall short, might embarrass myself, or might be left out. So they create their own little world, if you will. Hence the idea of forming a gang or a group or clique that will accept me and that will think like me, that will look like me, that will express itself like me. Problem with that is that only works in your clique. But when you and the members of your clique are forced to engage members of the greater society, that's where the conflict comes in. Even when it comes to providing for yourself. Interestingly enough, take a young man and you can clothe him, you can feed him for 18 years. If you don't put anything in his head, though, the minute he turns 18, society expects him to be ready. So much so until the Selective Service says if you're receiving any public assistance or government aid, you must register with the Selective Service in case we want to draft you and send you to war. That's just how much they expect you to be ready at age 18. But in reality, unfortunately, many are not ready. Yes, you're chronologically grown, but emotionally, you're still immature. So I'm asking you, what are the specific things, and I'm going to answer my own question, that we must be focused and deliberate about teaching them, particularly as it relates to economics. Sometimes people think that those greedy white people, that's not exactly true. They're greedy black people. They're greedy Asian people. They're greedy Hispanic people. The truth of the matter is the world and its natural resources has, you have an opportunity, I should say, to take advantage of those things. The question is, how do we do it? Hence our discussion tonight. And again, I emphasize the fact that through having a basis of faith, and what is this faith? For those of you who may just be joining us, what is this faith that you focus on? You focus on a belief that I'm entitled. I have a right to be independent. I have a right to be viable. I have a right to be happy. I have a right to produce something that is in demand and receive a product or reward from that. There's nothing wrong or evil about that. The only problem is when you don't have it, you become upset because you see everybody else with it, and you feel like, hey, I done lost. I done missed out. You know, I want some of this. I want in on this. We got a caller here. Good evening, caller. You're listening to Talk Straight. We're talking about economic freedom and how faith, fatherhood, and family are connected to them. How you doing this evening?
All right, Pastor Docker, how you doing, man?
Hey, there he is.
Hey, yeah, had some things going on.
Yeah. Okay, I understand.
I'm just get free, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Well, we appreciate you joining us, Pastor Ricky Waller. Pastor, we've been talking about particularly how you tell a young man, essentially, and I'm gonna rephrase it here. The number is 657-383-0944. Feel free to call in and join us. Pastor, I'm going to rephrase some of what I've been saying.
Okay.
Essentially, I'm going to break it. How you tell a young cat, give me your gun and give me your drugs for a different life? How do you convince him that it's worthwhile even taking a chance, sir, on formally educating himself and availing himself to resources and opportunities to learn about economic development, trade, business, and productivity and things? How do you do that when all they know is what they've learned in the hood and how to survive in the rat race? Can you talk to me about that a little bit? What do you think about that?
Man, I tell you, that's pretty deep, that, Pastor, because it sounds like to me that's their business. And how do you present to the guys who's got the gun and the drugs and the lifestyle that goes along with it, how do you encourage them to do something different? Basically, it boils down to going in another direction. First,
right,
you have to have something to offer. And in other words, you can say, I've been there where you are right now, and in my ignorance, I didn't know how to do that because of the fast pace of the life of getting the drug money. Actually, you are a business already. But how to is what you mean, how do you give them the type of information that can send them in another direction? And what
exactly.
I would say you have to meet them right where they are and let them know it's not anything to put you down, only to build you up.
That's right.
And if you have that to offer, you know, maybe that's by way of instructions. Let's just say how they got off into being a businessman by way of drugs and things like that, not knowing the penalty or anything that comes from it if they happen to get caught, because no one takes a sign and put it out there and say, look, if you get caught doing this, you
right.
will end up in See, they don't do that.
Right.
They wait till they get you.
Nobody says that. There's no posting.
Yeah.
There's no signs posted.
No, no, they don't do that now. And see,
hey,
that was
hey,
me.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes,
there are signs that say do not cross,
yes.
walk. But
yes.
no signs that say don't sell drugs. If you do, you're going to jail. Mm-hmm. And this how many years
no.
you're going to spend. Nobody says that.
No. No signs, brother. No signs anywhere. And that's the hurting thing. You know, that's what bothers me, you know, to the utmost. That's why I have compassion on these young kids out in the world today, because they remind me of me.
Right.
You know, and I'm glad that question, you know, but it does weigh heavy on me because I still feel a sense of responsibility to say that I was a part of that passing that down to a generation that made it attractive to them, even though they wasn't even around when I was doing what I was doing. But just to mention the other name, Fat Ricky, and how he used to live,
yeah.
and all of a sudden that could
right.
get someone excited. And they say, man, yeah, but he, man, I heard he can play basketball and this and that, but he ended up coming to drug dealing, and he supplied all the drugs out here. And see, things like that, you know, that bothers me because I wonder
mm-hmm.
sometimes, how did I get it in my hand, you know?
Right.
And it had someone responsible for getting it out there, man. And that's
sure.
the thing that I'm dealing with today. These kids are very innocent, and they actually have
they,
a heart to walk in their gifts. And you,
many
you,
of
you
them
have
are.
To,
right.
They have business-side
right.
mentality, but it just costs them their freedom and being separated from their families and to do harm to each other and things like that. And, man, you know, it's amazing, man, that you asked that question. One more thing,
what,
if you will.
Go ahead. Right here.
One thing, I was looking at an article that they had in the paper about me in 1999.
Okay.
And it talked about me being determined to save a new breed of kids who are often blinded by the glamorous of drug dealing. And I got
mm-hmm.
to the point where I was being determined, and I was determined. I was like, I was determined back in 1999, and the intense. Man, I would say has kicked in another gear, you know, because I feel like I haven't done it. You know, it's like, it seemed like it's no hope. I say seemed like.
Okay.
I do know that there's still hope. And so we just have to get some information out there to them, man, to let them know that there's a trap that's set for people who don't know that this drug is called a controlled substance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will control your mind. You know, if you make $10, it's going to tell you to make 10 more, or maybe you can make 100, and all of a sudden you're controlled by it. And
right.
don't mess
right.
with it and do the drugs, and now you're doing drugs and you're selling drugs. Man, you don't even have a clue of
yeah.
what you're off to at that point. And so how do you turn them around is basically the question that you're asking. It's going to
well,
be tough.
And, well, I thank God
yes.
we got answers. And that's what this show is really all about, is offering some. Here's a real question. It's some people we need to hold accountable and responsible, though. And
oh,
the
yeah.
real question, Pat, here's the real question. If God has blessed you and I and others, I'm not talking about preachers right now. I'm not talking about necessarily anyone in a formal role. I'm just talking about
uh-huh.
as men. He's blessed
yeah.
us to live beyond 30 years old. You know the average age young cats are checking out here early now is between 21 and 25 years old. Either they're
oh,
going
yeah.
to jail and dying from society, or they're dying a physical death, right? So
right.
we've been blessed to live past 40 years old for decades. 50
yeah.
years old. When do we step up and teach these young cats how not to just survive, but to live? When do we do that?
You know, that's a good question. You say, when do we do that? And
yeah.
you know, since you're talking about not just talking about preachers and things like that, but we're talking about information.
I'm just talking about men, grown men. If you're a grown man that's lived
yes.
four decades or better, you've done something
right.
to survive. You
exactly.
know a little bit of something about either the streets or you done got some formula in your head, right?
That's right.
I mean, when are you going to step up and go and meet these young cats where they are. And I'm not, you know, you can't come out talking crazy to nobody. Now, even the young cats don't want nobody to talk crazy to them.
Without a doubt.
But I mean, you know, you understand what I'm saying? But come
yeah, they
in
know
a
the
way
difference.
That says, look, there you go. Look, young brother, I understand you're hurt. How do I understand? I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been your
yeah,
age
me and
before.
Talking about that. We were just talking about that, man. Yes, we were. We were just talking about that. I mean, before I called in, and now
okay.
That's the topic that you're talking about, man. That's amazing.
Praise God.
You really?
Praise God. I mean, so that's the question we have to ask ourselves, you know. That's a rhetorical question that we should just silently sit and let it ponder in our mind, let it fester, and let's pontificate that and come up with the answer of when we're going to do it, you know, because we've been talking for a long time about what needs
yeah.
to be done.
Yeah, now is the time. You know, now is the time. Now is the time, I would say. The word does say. The word does say this. It said we must esteem others more highly than ourselves. So if we're going
right.
to esteem others more highly than ourselves, that means that we should show a concern for others. You know, why would
at
we
least.
Have information and then don't apply it and withdraw it and don't pass it down? I mean, why would we have information like that that's so valuable, you know, to the group of young people who are just coming out into the world, stepping
right.
out into the trap, hadn't been out there that long,
right.
and then you have something
right.
that can get them out of the trap, you know, why not extend an invitation to them to say, hey, man, I understand that you're in a trap, but here's a hand, and let me share with you some of the things that I've learned and that I know and give you some of this knowledge and wisdom that I would love to pass down because I've been having it for some time. I just don't want to take it with me, you know.
Right.
And that would make sense.
Right.
That would be, since you may find someone's mind open right there and say, well, let me listen to what the brothers are talking about. And it's just maybe
right.
I'll at least hear it. And then if I don't apply it today, maybe I may apply it next week or next year. But however, at least they would have it. You know, it's better
right.
to have it than to need it, than to need it and don't have
right.
it, you see. And that's what I've been dealing with, man. And Pastor,
yeah.
you've been saying something so valuable, man, ever since we've been on this broadcast. And I want you to know, man, it's inspiring, the things that you're bringing up. And you have
praise
such a great concern for others. And, you know, I just happen to see it in the Word. I saw it in there. And so I'm thinking a lot of people have seen it in the Word of God, and they won't do anything about it, man. I just don't understand that. Sometimes I wonder, you know, what are you going inside of a church house for that have the power of the Word of God in it, and
absolutely.
Then you don't come outside? I just don't understand it sometimes. And then I thought about it. I said, well, maybe they're going in there having fun. Maybe they're, you know, just enjoying themselves inside. And not complain
right,
about
right.
the house. You know, and
yeah, maybe
so,
maybe they
know,
just maybe this is all about fun and play.
Yeah, maybe that could be it. You know, like I said, I could be wrong, but anytime you see something that's as valuable as the Word of God, when He says esteem others more highly than yourself, that right
yeah,
there,
I'm going to put myself out there right now, Pastor. You got me
yeah.
on the cross, then. Let me come down. Can I come down? Can I come?
Come on down.
I want to come down off of God the hill, man. You got me all on the cross right now, man.
My goodness.
Listen.
Yes, sir.
If right now, someone was to force you, me, and 98 other preachers
mm-hmm.
in one room, they forced us with a gun. At gunpoint, they forced us. And they told us, y'all can't come out of there until you come, all of y'all collectively agree on how you're going to save 10 million of these babies out here in the street. Okay, not 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with 10,000. Let's go with 10,000.
Okay. That's good.
You understand
that's
what I'm
a
saying?
Start.
They got 100
yeah,
of us. They got 100 of us now. And we say we're
uh-huh.
preachers. We say we're men of God. We say we're endowed with the Holy Word. And we're called,
okay.
we're sent to save the lost, to heal the sick, raise the dead. Are you walking with me now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're forced in a room at gunpoint. I'm talking about you, me, you,
mm-hmm.
myself, and 98 other preachers. What do you think going to happen after 72 hours of us being in that room?
Man, what's going to happen. You know what? I need to find out now what is going to happen because I'm sure something's going to take place.
Just speak from your experience. Now, speak from your experience.
Yeah.
Dealing with us.
See, so now this is a personal thing now, how to save these young babies. And
right.
That's when I know that I must have something to offer. So other than that, I would just throw my hands up and say, man, I don't have nothing to offer. But if I have something to offer, I'll just become willing to be a witness to say me in.
Can I say something? Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Can I say
yes,
something? Yes,
sir.
I don't win until the team wins. And the team don't win unless I win.
Go
and
ahead.
If I gave that answer and threw my hands up, I let the team go. I let the team down. It's 100 of us now. It's 100 of us now.
Yeah, 100
now,
of us.
But I would submit to you, sir, one of the first things we have to do is we got to purge the room.
Okay.
What I mean by purge the room. We got to clear the room of ego. We got to clear the room of opportunisticity or want to be opportunistic, self-centeredness.
Okay.
And we've got to make sure we're all on one accord that whatever
that's,
we do, we got to be in agreement that we got to go save these babies.
That's right. You don't want to be scattered, man. And I can only imagine, you know, with the willingness, you know, I'm saying, hey, I'm a witness, man. Count me in. And that's it right there. If everyone would say, count me in, then you can go to work at that point. And then you get all in one accord. You're heading in the same direction. Yeah, that's a good point. Because you held a good point. I mean, these babies are crying out. And they're in a trap. And being that they're in a trap and no one can come to their senses because no one's extended an invitation to say, let me help you. And you know there's a word, you know, in Timothy that I talk about a lot, in verse number 26. It says that they may come to their senses and escape the snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. There's a lot of babies out there doing the devil's will and don't even know it. And then we holding on to the answer to get them free and won't even get out there and extend it to them to say, hey, man, I got what it takes to get you free. If they don't even hear that, that means that we're not concerned. You know what I mean? Even at gunpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That my opinion. We up in that brother say, yeah, man, if you call, you know what I mean, and to do this, then why are you not doing it? You say you're chosen, but you're not doing this. Well, what's going on? Who called you? Who chose you? You know? Yeah, man. And so it's a tough job out here in the streets. Yes, I would be the first to admit. There's nothing easy about it.
So,
no one
so
said it
one,
be
thing,
easy.
One of the things I have learned is that when you're in the company or the group of others, you've got to humble yourself to know who you're dealing with and to learn from them before you can share what you know.
Yeah,
if it's
nothing, it's okay.
If it's no other lesson, sir, than learning how to understand to reach them.
You just said something.
But
like
when
that,
I come
know.
In, when I come in with my chest out, puffed up, assuming I got all the answers, I can't learn nothing from nobody. I'm the only one that got the best answers. We got
that don't work
from the get go.
Right off the top.
Yeah,
that's a lot. We don't need that.
Right.
That's
so
not
see,
a
that mentality, that mindset is a barrier to communication and understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to work at all. I know that to be true.
So how many of us preachers would be able to take our collars off, take our ties off, our suits off, or whatever we're dressed in, and humble ourselves to one another?
That's right. How many?
Jesus.
You know,
check this out. Jesus asked Peter to wash his feet.
Go ahead.
Peter said, what?
You
want to wash my feet, man? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Get away from me. What? Come on, man. What kind of game are you playing, Jesus? You know what Jesus
Can't
told
be. What's that?
Peter, look here, partner. If
I can't humble myself enough to wash my brother's feet, I can't have no part with him. And you can't have no part with me.
See, that's what being humble is, man. You know, he's leading
you,
by
are
example.
You walking with, are you walking
yeah.
with me, brother?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Unless when we come together, all 100 of us, first washing our hands of any vile or discordant thought, and then humbling ourselves enough to wash one another's feet, sir.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
yeah,
the
man.
First thing we need to do.
You have to do that. That's just the way it is. I mean, if you're not humble, you can't even be effective inside the will of God, because this is the part of what it takes to daily be humble. You know, you can't skip days of being humble, because it's not beneficial to the kingdom. And that's one of the most important parts of my walk. You know, I love that, because egotistical, you know, desires and thoughts like that, man, it overtakes a lot of people, I'm sure. But I fight every day. I fight every day to stay humble. You know, that's the good fight of faith, because he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he would exalt you in due season. So if there's a season to be lifted up and exalted, man, you know, allow him to do it. You know, allow him to do it.
You know, I'm supposed to be in Columbus next week. But
okay.
I was in Nashville in town last week. And Bishop Campbell, Marcus Campbell, you're familiar with him, he had invited me to a deal that he was doing over there in the housing project in Casey Homes. And I was happy to go, man. I'm very happy to go. And I was just really looking to see what I could do to be of help, you know. And so while I was there, ran across a couple of people that, you know, I knew. And some of them asked me, they said, man, why you didn't come out here with your tent?
Okay. Okay.
My simple reply was, this is not about me.
Right.
I'm here to help this brother right now. Huh?
Yeah, that was good.
I don't need to pitch no tent right now. I know how to do that. And when the time comes, we will. This is about helping this brother right now.
No, that wasn't something
he got
do.
His
that,
tent
that,
up.
That,
we under his tent tonight.
Why would they even want you to even do that? I mean, that was
beyond
my thoughts. Now
I'm speaking to the mindset that has caused us not to reach those young brothers. Not just arbitrarily picked 100. I just arbitrarily picked 100. I'm trying to make the point that as preachers, what we can do is we can make sure that as we preach and teach, sir, we can be helpful in spreading a message that is concentrated on teaching the principles of faith, responsible fatherhood, and family stability as the basis for changing the lives of the babies that we're talking about.
Right. Make a lot of sense, you know. I mean, these are things that are important and very needed, man. Without the simple instruction, you know, because the enemy is going to bring forth instructions. They're just not written instructions.
Right.
And that's what they come up with, you know, and it's called go for what you know. And once you learn those instructions, you scatter them. You're doing things according to the way they learn. And, you know, who can knock them? I know I would be the first to say I can't put them down. Because
I won't.
I was the example that I know that came up. And so there's no way that I can put them down. The only thing I can offer is something to lift them up. You see,
there
if you I'm
go.
Unable to do that, there's no need of me saying anything to them at all.
Absolutely.
You know, that's, I wouldn't.
Wow, that's.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want anybody to say too much against them in front of me. You know what I mean? Because every point.
That's a good segue. That's a good segue
I mean,
to the next. Let me do this brief commercial because you just opened a door to the next thing that I want to talk about in these last few minutes that we have here. Let me do this this quick break. I want when we come back on the other side of that, you said you wouldn't want anybody to talk bad about those babies in front of you. Is that what you said?
No, not in front. Yeah,
okay.
Not in front of me.
Because you have a problem with them, wouldn't you? Okay.
No, I have a big problem.
Hold on. Let me slide this break in here. I'm going to come right back at that, man. I look like we got another call here. Yeah, stay with us, caller. We'll be right back.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
We have again with us tonight our panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, Arthur Steele Hyde. We've been talking from the topic economic freedom. How do these connect? Faith, fatherhood, and family. And we've been laying out precursors or important elements to saving our babies and using this principle and these three F's, faith, fatherhood, and family, to rid ourselves of a social ill that is destroying too many. Too many folk that are close to us, that look like us, that we, when we lose them, we hurt from it. And sometimes some people want to go hurt somebody else because they're hurting. Pastor Wallace said before we left on the break there, and you can give me a call here, 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. I'll be happy to entertain your call. We lost the other call there. Perhaps they'll call us back. Pastor Wallace said he don't want nobody. I don't want to hear nobody talking crazy to him, you know. I don't want to hear nobody talking crazy to him in front of me. Don't do it in front of me. Don't do it in front of me.
Yeah.
Pastor Wallace, I got another caller from 615. Good evening, Carla. How you doing? Welcome to Talk Straight.
I'm doing all right. How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Well, you know, good.
I'm all right myself.
Great, great. Have you had an opportunity to follow our discussion, Carla, so far? And if you'd like.
How have I been listening in? I believe you was talking about what can we do as far as the generation that's coming up.
Right.
After us, and what would be a good change, or what's basically a good way to reach these people in order to be led down the right direction, basically. What can we do?
Right.
And I feel like the start
right.
is we have to identify.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go right here.
Okay. I was going to say the first thing I mean, I'm not that young. I'm 35 myself. But I've been down them roads myself, and I feel like a lot of it was. I feel like we don't have like a lot of heroes out there for people to look up to, and I feel like the people in the streets, because they show the most successful people in the world being in the streets. We don't have a lot of people out there. But I mean, I talk to Faster Ricky all the time. I'm in Nashville. That's like one of the few. We need more like that, though. It's not a whole lot of people out here like that. He's on his best job, and I appreciate that. But we need more people like that. And they always glorify with us. Money is either you playing basketball, or you're not playing basketball, you're in the street selling and doing stuff like that. And that's the only two ways to be successful, as far as on a level of having the things that you want. I feel like that's what's making people be in the streets. It ain't just nothing else. That's the only thing they showing on television. That's the only thing they praising out here. So when you're young, you don't have nothing to pull from. That's the only knowledge you have at that point, because they're not teaching that in school. They're teaching you to go to college and go work for somebody else. They're not teaching you to be independent entrepreneurs. You find that out after you fail or you don't live long enough. That's if you make it to that point, you might die before you reach that point. That's the whole thing, though.
You're right. And unfortunately, that's what's happening, brother. Too many are not reaching, they're not making it to the point where you start learning that lesson, you know what I mean? And then it's too late for them. And you know, that's why I was saying, caller, that, and Pastor Wallace, I really put the onus, the responsibility on me and everybody that's like me. If I've been blessed to make it this long, I'm not saying that you can control anyone, but you have some responsibility to at least impart wisdom and knowledge and understanding on them. Is that an unfair position?
No, that's correct. Yeah, and that's what he has knowledge. He's a young brother that's called in, Pastor, and, you know, he has a great concern. He's to us talk, and I said, yeah, man, you can chime in, and that's what he decided to do because he's
We're glad to have him.
Young brothers that, you know, that's doing something different, and so he's really have a heart. He has a heart that just want to see change take place in the lives of the young people, man. And so it's great that he's calling in and, you know, and sharing with us. Yeah.
Sure. So, caller, here's what we've been talking about. I've been talking about a principle order, a structure, right? I believe that one of the huge issues is from birth to where they are right now in the streets. They have lacked anyone, not just talking about it, but being about the order that they need in their lives to be successful. You follow what I'm saying? If you got, you say you want to plant a seed, right, and you want it to grow, but if you don't have a body of dirt that can stay together, that you can pour water in and you can nourish, that seed will never have what? Soil to germinate in. What I'm saying, we've got to create the framework and the soil, and we got to make sure that soil is not contaminated, man, that is clean, that soil is able to allow no pollutants or anything to strangle out and kill and destroy that seed that we want to nourish up. That's what our responsibility is. I'm talking now about preachers and anybody else who say they're a leader or that you're somebody that should be respected. That's what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, the leaders definitely have to step up, especially, you know, you call in a position, no matter what title it is, in the ministry.
Right.
But I see the biggest thing that's hurting the ministry is television. I'm sorry. It's like it kind of overrules.
Uh-oh.
I mean, church is Sunday. It's only for 2 hours. You're feeling good in church, but you got to go back home. And
that's
the devil come into their television. He exposes you to stuff. You go against all your teeth. You can raise your child up as much as you want, but once you get that television, the devil done came in your house. And you don't know where he's been looking at. You can't control it. It's a control factor. If you want to change the world, you're going to have to change the system. You're going to have to change the government. It ain't nothing to me to take a whole village to educate a child. I done sit there and watch it. I done been a prime victim of it myself.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right.
I know the power in television. People belittle television. Because I mean, that's the whole thing. Change even with somebody in church. If God gives you a vision, he's giving you power to make a change. Now, if you seeing is believing, right? And following me on television,
right.
He's showing you something. That's premeditation.
You didn't know how to do
absolutely
none of this stuff until you seen it first. Now, if you commit a crime, you didn't know how to work a gun until you seen somebody fired. You see what I'm saying? So it's
right.
Power in television. If you want to change a person, you have to change what they see and hear. And
right.
Seeing and hearing is a lot for our social media and television. That's controlling our people and our generation.
Right.
It's powerful
right.
than what we know. It's television being on here for a certain amount of time, and it's still here for a reason because it's programming your mind.
Right. Caller,
my goodness.
You know the preacher
as well, but the television has
yes,
more
sure.
hours spent with the child than the preacher do.
Okay. Well, caller, I was going to say, I'm going to put a term on that. What they call that in psychology is subliminal suggestion. In other words, your subconscious, they're not speaking to your conscious or your natural eye. They're speaking behind what you see in front of you. And you don't even realize how much that's controlled. You don't even realize how much
people belittle it. Oh, just entertainment.
Right.
No, it's more than that. It's way more than
that. It has a powerful effect on you. The power of
the way you put your clothes on in the morning, the way you brush your hair, it's because you've seen it from somewhere.
Absolutely.
Where did you see it from? On television.
Absolutely.
This gang violence started in Cali somewhere. How did it get all the way here? It came to your television. It came to your home and to your child. That's how it got here.
Man, talk
you
to
know,
me.
Ain't nobody
you
came down here in your house. Ain't nobody showed my son how to do that. It came to their television. They ought to be paying you to have advertisement running through my mind. Why am I paying for cable advertisement? Y'all be paying me. You putting this on me to make me go spend money.
Man,
y'all be, I'll be charging
that.
You.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
You know what, Carla? You spot on it, brother. You spot on it because and this explains why a 3 or 4 or 5 year old child can do the latest dance. Ain't nobody written that down. Nobody taught them that in the classroom. But like the brother says, they picked this up from somewhere. They got that.
That's right.
And they can outdo an adult with it.
Oh yeah,
amazing.
That's how powerful that thing is. But what we have to do is we have to recontrol the mindset and the value base to where, Carla, what I'm hearing you say is maybe we need to get rid of that TV. If that's the problem, get rid of the TV.
Television and school, new education and school.
Get
rid of that television. So that public school ain't teaching them nothing.
They're
keeping them idle. Man, a child can learn how to work a job at 5 and 6. Why you got to wait to 18? That's a waste of your years.
Wow.
By the time you're 18, you already grown. You ready to get charged as an adult. You don't know what you're doing. We got everything backwards, man. We got everything backwards. Is it school? Play a part in school. I'm not.
Sure. Your point is well taken. Caller, 1098.
Yes, sir.
You want to give us something? I got a call on 1098. You want to give us something, that caller?
All right.
Oh, I'm just listening just, you know.
Hey, how you doing,
you know,
man?
Soaking in every comment. Yes, good.
Okay. And what we're talking about is economic freedom, how faith, fatherhood, and family. And see, I'm suggesting, gentlemen, that we've got to be deliberate about teaching those principles. We've got to be deliberate about teaching that you must believe yourself that you are worth whatever the world or the earth has to offer you. God gave it to you from the beginning. And we must believe that before you go and give your sperm and make a baby, there is a divine order and principle by which God established your ability to make a baby, and that's fatherhood, responsible fatherhood. And the family is the outcome of that. And when we operate from that, we can be successful economically, politically, social, whatever way you need to survive in society, that is the foundation for who you are. That's what we got to teach these young cats, running around doing their thing in the street. We understand why they're there, and we don't think that they're necessarily just evil because they're there, but they're there because, like the brother was saying, they learned that from somewhere. They got to unlearn it, and we got to teach them what is proper. I'm sorry, did you want to say anything, 1098?
Oh no! I'm just listening. Everything the state of the truth, but when it comes to television, social media, and things of that nature, in the long run, what I did, I used that for a training tool. I said, "Well, look, I said, if it go this route, doing what they're doing, this is what's gonna happen to you. You know, so change up what you're doing.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
Right. Pastor Wallace, today,
yes, sir.
Today we have an opportunity.
Now, what happened yesterday, we can't do nothing to turn the hands of the clock around. But today there's an opportunity. The question is, who is willing to step up? And this is what I'm hearing the young brother say. Who's willing to step up to the plate? We know what the problem is. And guess what? We know who the problem is. Question is what you going to do about it and how you going to do that? You know what I mean? 1080, you want to talk to me about that a little bit? 1080.
What can we do about this problem? Well, my generation in the better, 35 and up, we kind of already set. But as far as the future, like I said, it's going to have to start with education. I mean, I'm aware. I'm thankful and blessed to be alive. But the new generation, if we want change, it's going to have to be a change. I mean, a real change. I mean, we'll have to get proper training in school. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you go to school, you're supposed to learn something for real, not just the basic knowledge, how to work or register, CAS register, just good enough to follow direction. I mean, we need a solid education. First of all, we need education of who you are as a person, what your strong points are, what are true values, and what's true worth, like going learn how to farm and stuff. That's survival, learning how to build, carpenters. You know what we need?
Right.
We need those basic things. That's the stuff that makes you strong out here. Not just going to get the education and hoping somebody hire you. After you get $100,000 in debt off college, you need more entrepreneurs.
That's correct.
There's a lot of good entrepreneurs out here. They don't teach a lot of that.
Right.
That's right.
You got to believe in yourself. And once you know who you are from that point, you will be powerful.
That's
yeah,
point.
And I heard you say that was a plan. I heard you say, brother, that was planned, very well planned out, that it would be that way. I remember you and I was talking about that, Brother Charles. And so, you know, that made a lot of sense, man. I think you're right on point. Yeah, we appreciate what you're bringing to the table, man.
So the good news is there's good news and bad news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you the bad news. the bad news is if I don't act on what I know, more people are gonna be lost. That's the bad news.
That's bad news, brother.
The good news is faith is the substance, the crap, the mess, the stuff we done struggled through. We know better now, and we know what we need to do. That's the good news that we have the substance.
Go ahead.
That's the good news.
That's pretty neat, yeah.
I tell you what, I'm putting pressure on myself, gentlemen. If don't nobody else go, I guess I'll go by myself.
Yeah. That's a good start.
I'm with you. Yeah. We're just talking about that.
Yes, sir.
I guess
man.
I'll go by myself.
Man, I mean, to become willing and ready, you know, that's meaningful.
Yeah,
you have to
and
be
I think
ready,
that
ready, be ready.
Yeah, 1098, I think there are good people out here with great ideas. We're just afraid to even face one another and share our best ideas, man. We, like the brother was saying, we've been so conditioned and socialized not to work together, not to trust one another, not to believe in one another, that we can't even share our best ideas with each other.
That's pretty heavy right there now.
That's deep.
Pretty heavy, man. You know, but it's true though. I mean, I see truth in it. Basically,
yeah,
I see truth in it. Could it be for
selfish
reasons? Is it? Could it be for selfish reasons?
Go ahead. 1098. I mean 1080. 1080. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh.
I think what we lost in the battle overall is when we share the same language. We can't discuss what we're trying to accomplish now because everything can be listened and counteracted on. We lost a lot of power when we had the same language. We talked the same language. So I don't know how we're going to get that back, but that's a start. We can't have a private setting. We go to church. All they got to do is come to your church and sit in and see what you're preaching about. And they don't like what you're preaching about. They close it down, man. Some preachers out here, they don't even talk about real stuff based off of tax exemption. Me, I pay taxes to talk about real. You know what I'm saying? That's a problem right there.
Talk about real.
You better save the money and not talk about government stuff. Real issues, what's really holding you back.
Wow.
This television, this programming, you won't tell the people that, the real.
You'll tell them just keep on trusting in God and keep on doing that and paying your tithe, they're going to be all right. But we know truthfully, this stuff can't come to pass unless the people in the position, the high power, do something about it.
So talking about it ain't enough.
They got to see our vision as well.
Let me explain it to me like I'm 3 years old. What I'm hearing you say is, if the word that's coming across the pulpit was meaningful and productive, you don't mind paying taxes on it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, a lot of people out here, this priest, they don't pay taxes, but they can't talk about politics either, though. That's a handicap, because that's the stuff we need to talk about. That's the stuff that's holding these people back.
My God.
Truth be told.
My God. My God. What about
and
that?
What I got to pay taxes just to talk about real, I'll do it.
he's talking action right now. He's saying they need to be.
I'm just saying, I don't pay my bills in a way. I mean, I don't pay my bills right now.
I feel you.
Bills still being paid. Why, I would talk about what's holding these people back.
Right.
And I see,
right,
I go to
right,
a lot
right.
of church and I don't hear it. I don't hear them talking about their real, what's really happening, and why they really in that situation. Mm-hmm. I hear about mm-hmm. all the promises, and if you don't pray this, you ain't getting in the kingdom of heaven. That's after the fact.
Oh,
what
man.
About this whole life you live, though? I don't talk about that.
Go ahead, brother.
But you know yeah. what? Right. He raising up a whole different generation of people, though.
Right.
That's all
man.
I know.
And see,
what?
And see, Carla, here's the deal. I call it the snatch and grab mentality. The reason these little shawty's
uh-huh.
out there in snatch and grab mode is because they realize that ain't nobody talking real to us. Everybody on some kind of game. They tripping off of something. And I'm going to get mine
right.
the way I live. Either I get rich or I die trying.
Wow. Pretty strong mentality. That's basically what's going on, though.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really.
When they see old school walk up, what they see is fear in his heart to tell them the truth. And that's what emboldened these little cats to keep doing what they're doing. They see the old cat scared to say something to them, scared to embrace them, scared to tell them the truth. And that emboldens them to keep on doing what they're doing. Some of them, one scared, the other one glad he's scared.
Yeah. Bad case.
Oh,
no
man,
true, man.
Wow.
Yeah, sad
yeah.
case is so
man.
True.
Effect, man.
Hey, Pastor, I want to hear from my brother,
do.
Man. Yeah, let me hear from my brother that's on the other line as well. Let me hear what he got to say to us.
1098, what we
talk
gonna do,
to us,
man?
Bro.
What we gonna do, 1098?
Well, you know, I was listening to the gentleman. You know, he went to he was talking about planting, farming, and things in his nature. Well, there are colleges, you know, that you can go to and take up horticulture. Also,
right.
education is free. You got Tennessee College of Applied Technology. You go in there, you don't pay for nothing. All you have to do is go. But who's going to leave those young in there? You know,
wow.
Education, associate degrees are free now, you know. So the use of, you know, school and things of that nature, you can go get a associate degree free. That law has been passed in Tennessee. And also, Tennessee College of Applied Technology, all you have to do is go. Everything is paid for. No student loans, nothing. Grants taking care of all that.
I feel like everybody has to do that, though. It ain't just me. Me going to be a farmer and everybody else in the streets ain't going to be effective. It's going to have to be incorporated into our culture. It got to be everybody's household doing the same thing. Not about what you want to be when you grow up. It's about what are we lacking as a culture. That's what you need to be growing up. You got to be looked at different, not what you want to be personally. What are we lacking in? We're lacking in banking. We're lacking in the military. We're lacking in farming. I mean, the FDA, they cloning food. We only eating all type of stuff. People are all big and stuff. Like what we're going wrong at. Not what you want to be. It's what we need you to be is what you need to be going to school for, what we need out here, not what you want to be personally. It's a sacrifice.
Hey,
that's
1098.
Well,
1098.
You know,
I mean, 1080.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to ask 1080. Where they doing that at, man? Where they doing that at?
It can be right here in your hometown. If we get started today, I'm ready.
Wow.
You know where big money is?
Yeah.
1080. 1080. Let me tell you where the big money is. Computers. This is where your big money is now. See, now I'm 59 years old. Now I'm finna go to Tennessee College of Applied Technology myself. And I'm 59. I'm finna go there and take up computer information technology. And all I have to do is go. See, this is where the money is. Why farm? This world now, it's all about technology. Am I right, Reverend Doctor?
It is. It's about survival, too.
Well,
it's about insurance. Your people.
If I might draw the connect. So you're right, 1098, and 1080 is right. Because catch this. They had some Chinese people over here about 10 years ago. And you know what they told the governor? I think that was Phil Bredesen was governor. They told Phil Bredesen, we can feed the world with the natural resources that are right here in Tennessee that are unused. And all they were talking about was farming and cropping and things of that nature. Now, some of these little shorties out there on snatch and grab, just imagine if they were getting their fingernails dirty making some of that money. And then I found out that President Obama reserved millions of dollars for African-American farming projects and teaching them in horticulture and things of that nature. But we're not the ones going there getting that money because, one, nobody told us about it. Two, like the brother saying, we're not thinking on that level.
Well, you know, me, I have a degree in horticulture. Farming industry, you know, it's you got to have that land. You got to have those combines because they don't have niggas out in the field picking cotton and picking beans and stuff like that. Plus, farmers, you know, they suffer too. You know, what's that aid they be getting, Roman Doctor?
The farm aid, the FDA. FDAC aid, Man,
right.
We done got down to 2 minutes. Doggone it, man.
Good conversation, though.
Yes, sir. Man, I'm going. Yeah. Brother, and I appreciate y'all calling, man. I really do because hopefully Thursday we're going to have a lady on that's talking about financial management. But if not, I'm gonna kind of hit this again a little bit because they're very important. And we really need to have more young cats in this conversation, man, because they need to
be
know.
On next Tuesday.
This coming Thursday.
You'll be on
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday?
Tuesday? Thursday? Yeah, I'll be on next Tuesday.
Hopefully a young man will be on there, and if you don't mind, we can pick this same conversation up if you don't mind.
If she won't be able to make it this coming Thursday, we'll pick it right back up, or we'll do it next Tuesday. But we'll definitely make sure we do. This is very important. This is very important. And but again, we're down to 90 seconds here, gentlemen. Listen, man, I don't want to leave. I know you guys leave it, but I don't want to let you go. 1080, Pastor, we thank you, man. 1080, we appreciate you. And 1098, thank you all for your conversation. We're going to keep on moving, man. We're not going to stop. We'll keep it moving until something changes. Something got to change here.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And what the guy said, keep on
maybe someday we'll find.